In the year 1991, U.S. Flight 1313 soared unknowing unto its death. As the vessel sank into the ocean's depths, three boys washed ashore on Skull Face Island. Near death, pursued by vicious creatures, the boys stumbled upon shelter. Who built it and for what purpose, none could say. But, to their shock and amazement, a 55-inch TV glowed within, streaming every movie ever made.
I'd stick my neck out for nobody.
What the hell is this?
You're an inhuman monster!
I said good day!
After 20 years struggling for survival, they managed to repair the shelter's communication device. Perhaps someday, they'll be rescued. But until then, they'll watch and discuss movies, hoping, praying you're listening.
Hello and welcome. This is Adam Frazier, aka Famous Monster, and you are listening to Skullface Island, the official movie podcast of geeksofdoom.com. As always, I'm joined by the film snob, David Allen.
Hello.
And our slightly disoriented, possibly drunk producer, Tim Grant.
Hello. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Hi, Tim.
So, confirmed drunk.
Yeah, he's okay. Definitely wasted. Okay. All right, well, let's jump right into it, and let's see what kind of news we got on the old Geek-O-Matic.
It's a bit of an upgrade from last week.
Yeah, you're right. Sounds like there's some 56K action in there.
There's going to be a little banding with this printout here.
Still no color.
No, that's fine.
All right.
Ooh.
Okay. So, first thing we've got is Fox may let Mark Webb direct The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Right. So, Webb has a deal with Fox after making 500 Days of Summer that he basically owes them another movie, right?
Right, right.
But they might postpone that obligation to give him a shot at making the next Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, because initially this was actually causing some problems. That it was looking like he wasn't going to be able to direct the next Spider-Man. But the offer that Fox has essentially made is direct two for us now, and we'll allow you to go make Spider-Man 2 for Sony, which Sony really, really wants him to take.
Sure.
But this is locking him into a studio deal. And I don't know. I mean,
it could be a couple studio deals. I mean, yeah. He might end up making Spider-Man 3 while he's at it. You know,
right, so. Right. And that's, I mean, it's one of those split things where it's work. It's like you get work,
yeah,
you know, for
definitely.
The next, what, 3 years at
yeah,
the least?
At least.
But at the same time, it sort of, it also limits some, you know, his choices if something else comes along.
I know there, you know, initially after Spider-Man came out, a lot of people were wondering if he was going to return. It sounded like he didn't have the best experience with them, like that they did a lot of cutting after the fact
yeah.
and stuff. So
yeah.
How important is it that Mark Webb stays on board Spider-Man?
I think it's going to be, I don't know. I generally enjoyed the first Spider-Man. We've talked a lot about this. I do think that there's so much that he did well. It's worth him holding on to it and keeping, you know, kind of keeping his style going. He deals with the Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy character
yeah.
so well that I think it would really benefit the whole trilogy for him to stick along the whole time.
Absolutely.
So I know that one of the movies that they're talking to him, that Fox is trying to get him to do is, it's called like Age of Rage or something like that.
And that's a catchy title.
Right, and it's from the writer of Black Swan. Let's see, script for Broken Lizard's Super Troopers 2 turned in, Beerfest sequel, Potfest, likely too.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Potfest.
Yeah.
Is that the best we could do with the title there?
It's what they do at the end, though.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the joke.
It is the joke.
Which apparently was only a joke.
Yeah.
And now people really want it to be a movie because Willie Nelson says he's going to be in it. James Cameron confirms Avatar 2 won't be released until 2015, the earliest.
Well, hell.
I don't feel like this is news. I feel like this is expected. I'm surprised he even made an announcement that it would take longer for him to make a movie than expected.
Right.
Because isn't that sort of how this works now?
Yeah, it took him 10 years to make the first Avatar.
Right.
Why would we expect anything less?
So. Yeah, I don't know.
So what's the deal? Why is it going to take so long?
Well, it looks like he is, once again, waiting for some technology to kind of catch up to things. He's looking at investing in some in shooting this film at 60 frames per second, which is
madness.
Unheard of. We literally just made the jump from 24 to 48 about 6 months ago with Peter Jackson announcing that he was going to do 48 frames per second.
For The Hobbit.
Yeah. Most films are shot in 24. And so for Cameron to say he's going to shoot Avatar 2 in 60 is insane.
60 frames per second is what most you know, next generation video games run at. So Call of Duty or something like that is 60 frames per second. So I can't really imagine it. I feel like it'll be super immersive, but it'll also be not very cinematic or filmic. You know, it won't have that quality to it. It'll feel more like a NBC sitcom. You know, like when you watch Community in HD or something like that.
Right. I don't know. I think for your average film, it would maybe be a little off-putting. But for the sort of 3D technology that I think he's trying to explore, this might actually be kind of cool.
Yeah. So. And they're saying that, I think a while back he said this movie was going to focus on like a water planet or
Only thing I've seen him say is that he wanted to show us the oceans of Pandora.
Can't wait.
How does that possibly inform us anything about the story?
I'll go ahead and tell you there's going to be some crazy ass glowing jellyfish.
Yeah. Maybe this is where the people from the abyss are from.
Oh shit. What if
that movie just got awesome if it happens.
You're right. But what if they go underwater?
Yeah.
Sam Worthington's doing his stuff, but then all of a sudden Titanic wreckage.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's right.
So are you saying that Pandora is like, when they flew to Pandora, what they actually did was pull the Planet of the Apes?
Yes.
Landed on a future
You heard
Earth.
It here first, confirming it. I have never met James Cameron. I have no knowledge of this, but I'm confirming it.
Yeah.
Titanic, Avatar crossover.
So this is going to be a sequel to not only Avatar, this is going to be a three-way sequel to Titanic.
Yep.
The Abyss.
Yep.
And Avatar.
You heard it. Next.
And a spiritual sequel to Planet of the Apes.
Next.
Quick correction here.
Okay.
Community is 24p, 24 frames per second. Just wanted to...
Right.
So what Tim's saying is you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Fuck.
A good example would be Big Bang Theory. There you go. Avatar 2 will look like Big Bang Theory.
So You disregarded all of the coolness.
So Big Bang Theory isn't filmed in 24?
I didn't disregard it. James Cameron did.
By shooting... Is Big Bang Theory shot in 60 frames per second?
It is, yeah.
It shot 60 frames per second?
Well, it's technically not frames per second because it's an interlaced signal. It gets real complicated. Don't worry about it.
You should be working for James Cameron.
Next article.
That's what... No, you said here first.
Next headline.
I'm saying here first. Big Bang Theory, Avatar 2 looks exactly.
All right.
Gotta stop drinking before I do this.
Peter Jackson confirms The Hobbit will be a trilogy.
Oh, why?
That's his excited sounds, everybody.
Oh, God.
So, and what we also know...
It's a 200-page children's book.
300, depending on the edition. Sir.
Fucking 300-page children's book. We're making it a 9-hour opus.
More than likely, yeah. And there's also currently no budget or script in place
for it. There's not even a script. What is this movie?
I don't know.
Well, let's talk about what we do know, right? So the first movie is An Unexpected Journey.
Right.
It's coming out this Christmas.
Yes.
We'll get it right here in the treehouse.
And it's probably...
No lines.
I'm going to assume that film is going to basically go from an introduction to Bilbo all the way to him finding the ring, more than likely.
Okay.
That's my theory.
And then the
second... that's about midway in the book.
The second movie is There and Back Again.
Right. Which is from the ring to... based on the two film schedule we were initially working off of. Then from there, it would go from the ring to the battle and fighting Smaug, the dragon.
Right, the end of the book.
Right.
So why is there a third movie?
Because.
Have they finished filming the second one?
Yeah, it's done. They're meeting up in a few months to do some extra reshoots for like battle sequences, he said. And they've basically signed on the entire cast, the entire crew, for an additional 2 months to shoot whatever footage he needs to make a third film. Because the third film, theoretically, is going to be made up of unused footage from the first two movies. And I think a re-edit of the first two movies so that footage will be, it'll be moved around.
So, I don't even know what you just said, but it sounds awful.
I'm really surprised this is happening.
I was looking forward to getting into this area of time where no more Star Wars movies, no more Twilight movies, no more Harry Potter movies, no more Lord of the Rings movies. Like, we will be forced as a culture to like establish something new.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then fucking Hunger Games. And then three more Hobbit movies.
Yeah, it's we've just, got we're doing 3 years of Hobbit shit movies
over again. Then we're gonna reboot Batman. We're gonna reboot every superhero ever.
Yeah,
I'm gonna kill myself in this goddamn treehouse.
Yeah, but not before you watch every one of them.
That's correct.
So.
That is so pleasant.
It must be movie time.
Thank you. Yeah, that's right. It is movie time, and I'm going to take a little time out here to talk about The Watch, directed by Akiva Schaffer, one of the Lonely Island guys from Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. You've probably seen the trailers for this ad nauseum because it's all over the place. Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, Jonah Hill, and Richard Ayoade are four suburbanites who form a neighborhood watch. And come to find out, their biggest enemy is extraterrestrials.
There is an alien invasion happening.
They're among us.
That's why I founded the Neighborhood Watch.
Any one of these people could be an alien.
Check her out.
It's like she's studying some new discovery. Should I put it in my flavor snout?
We're not going to let Glenview be ground zero for some alien invasion.
We can't trust anyone.
Yeah, you can't trust anyone. Especially those trailers, because this movie is not good. It's not really, it's not what I would call a comedy. I laughed two or three times during it, and really every time I laughed was inexplicably, for no apparent reason, Billy Crudup shows up in this movie as a creepy, creepy neighbor. And he steals the movie from all of them every time he shows up. And he's only in it for easily 30 seconds. That's all he's in this movie. But it's as if Akiva Schaffer was directing Ben Stiller and said, hey, if you could just do your best Adam Sandler impersonation, and by that I mean don't be funny at all, that'd be great. And Stiller, being a great actor, followed that direction perfectly because he is not funny at all in this movie. And it's not all his fault. He's playing the straight man to these other three characters. But Vince Vaughn is doing his best 2005 Vince Vaughn impersonation. His character feels like a chaotic mix of like Old School and Dodgeball and Wedding Crashers. There's just nothing new going on here. And the last thing I'll say about this movie before we move on to a good film, Safety Not Guaranteed, is that there is so much product placement in this movie. Usually that doesn't bother me, but this whole movie takes place in a Costco. It's constantly talking about Costco, and then it goes out of its way to show you Tide products, Coca-Cola products, and bizarrely enough, Magnum condoms are all over this movie. They just spend all their time on Magnum condoms, Coca-Cola, and Tide. It's just the most bewildering thing possible. But
so what you're saying is you loved it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I'm saying is if you love Coca-Cola Classic and you wash your clothes with Tide, and you have a large penis, The Watch is for you.
Or buy condoms like you have a large penis.
Exactly.
Like Tim.
he got you good. Because we actually do have a CVS on the island. And every time I see Tim in
everywhere.
There. And Tim's always buying Magnum condoms and Reese's Pieces. Yeah. And I don't know what the fuck he's doing with them. That's neither here nor there. We won't talk about it.
Who knows? All right. Well, then since The Watch disappointed you,
yes,
let's talk about a movie that that did not disappoint us.
Yeah.
A film by the name of Safety Not Guaranteed.
Writers, does anybody have an idea for a story?
How about this time travel ad?
Guy writes a classified that reads, "Wanted, someone to go back in time with me. This is not a joke. You'll get paid after we get back. Must bring your own weapons. Safety not guaranteed. I've only done this once before. I want to find this guy.
You know, see if maybe he believes in this stuff. I don't know. I think it could be funny.
You want to do it?
Can I get a couple of interns? Help me with
I'll
the research?
It. Me, too, please. Me.
All right, give me the lesbian and the Indian, and I got a story.
What'd you get?
Got his name, where he works. What makes you think he won't slam the door in my face, too?
Probably none of the other people were beautiful girls.
Easier now.
Do you sell guns here? Something sexy and affordable with killing power?
Is there a pest problem?
Well, if your ad had been written properly, I may have a better idea of what I need. I hope you worked harder on your calibrations.
My calibrations are flipping pinpoint, okay? Mm. You ever face certain death?
If it was so certain, I wouldn't be here, would I?
Yeah, Safety Not Guaranteed, directed by Colin Trevorrow, starring Aubrey Plaza, Jake M. Johnson, and Mark Duplass.
Yeah.
It's actually based on like a real Craigslist ad that it made its way around the internet, you know,
oh, wow.
as a meme there for a while.
Yeah.
About this guy wanting to travel into the future and saying that he'd only done it once. What did you think about it?
I loved this movie. I thought it was fantastic. I really like Aubrey Plaza a lot. I like
sure.
Parks and Recreations. I'm a big fan of that show. And I thought she was really good in Funny People as well. But this was great. It was this great little indie film that was unafraid to kind of take on some sort of like genre tropes, but not let them overwhelm it. And just all around, everybody does a really good job. It's really, really well written. There's a supporting, one of the supporting characters has this really great storyline, like placed alongside the whole, you know, investigating this guy and his ad. And it was great. Like, I just, over all around, I thought this was just a fantastic little movie.
So, yeah, and Mark Duplass is great, as always.
Yeah, he's very, very funny in it. He's very funny.
We're not going to do this a whole lot on the show, so don't stop listening. I promise, but we have to take a minute and ask Tim what he thought, because Tim saw this movie, and this
yeah.
doesn't happen a whole lot. So, Tim, what did you think about the movie?
Short and sweet.
I liked that it focused more on the characters than on the actual time travel element of it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like any time travel movie, it gets stuck in, oh, they're going to travel through time, and then they may see themselves, and then the whole world's going to end.
Ontological paradoxes.
Which I'm afraid maybe, and I don't know if this shows up on your five most anticipated movies, Looper, which I'm super excited about,
mm-hmm.
but I'm really worried it's going to get caught in that trap, and I don't think that this film did. I feel like Safety Not Guaranteed really explored why people are interested in
right.
moving through time instead
right.
of getting caught in the...
The specifics of it.
Of,
yeah,
it's exactly.
it is very much more about the motivation. Like, what causes a person to do this? You know, what kind of regret or what sort of, like, self-reflection is bringing a person to want to even travel through time?
And you learn so much about these people through that.
Yeah, and in a very short amount of time,
right.
you become very attached to them very quickly. Every one of them. I cared about every single person in this movie. Like, every character was interesting to me.
And the incredible thing about that is, to me, is that you learn about these people through that, but it doesn't feel like a gimmick. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whereas if you learn about these people through any other means that wasn't as fantastical as traveling through time,
yeah,
you may not be able to swallow everything that they dish mm-hmm. out at you.
Yeah. Well, I think the whole idea of making it an investigation, you know, the film opens with the premise that this guy is
investigative journalism,
that it's bullshit and we need to figure out like what this guy's deal is, and it's even a joke. I think that is just a great vehicle for this kind of storyline, because it really does allow you to slowly, you know, reveal everything in a very like sensible way. I thought it was great. So it's playing at it's a few weeks old now, but it's just now hitting, I think, the widest distribution it would have.
Yeah.
So more than likely, it's probably going to be at some of your local like art house cinemas or the smaller indie cinemas. So if you haven't yet, go check out Safety Not Guaranteed. Well worth your time.
Yeah.
So.
And before we move on, let us remind you that all the best geeky stuff regarding comics, movies, is waiting for you at geeksofdoom.com. So don't forget to go there and check it out. You can read my review of The Watch, which is way more entertaining than the movie, if I can say that. And yeah, back to the show. You know what? The natives here, they've been fucking restless. Something's up.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they know.
That's true.
I mean, I'm not planning on being here past December. I don't know about you guys. But.
Yeah. And even though we've lived here for, you know, 10 plus years, I still don't know what they're saying. I don't know their language.
Yeah. Just like Rush Hour, I don't have time for that shit.
It's like a hyper-evolving language structure.
Top five.
Top five.
Top five. Most anticipated.
Top five most anticipated films. Do you want to do this five on five or one at a time? Or
well, I...
Some jive on the backside?
I haven't actually put them in an order.
God, you're so unprofessional.
I couldn't do it. Do you have yours in a top five order?
I don't.
You son of a bitch.
Gotcha.
All right, well then...
You just want to do one, I'll do one?
Let's do one, yeah.
All right.
I'll go first.
Okay.
All right, mine are in order of release, so...
So they are in order.
In order of release, not in, like, importance in my heart.
This is called a top five.
Help me, Tim. Help me.
You need to use numbers here.
You're right.
You're gonna
Tim's
to...
right.
Tim is right.
Why didn't we think of this?
He's drunk, but God. He's right.
Fine. Number right. five.
Go for it.
Argo. Ben Affleck. I almost said Ben
you
Stiller.
Said Ben Stiller.
Son of a bitch.
That'd be a terrible movie.
Different movie altogether.
Totally.
Yeah. Ben Affleck's next Cable movie that he's directing that has Bryan Cranston and a bunch of awesome people in it.
Right.
And it's about using the under the guise of like a film crew for a science fiction movie. They're going to go into is it Iran and get
yeah,
these
it's
hostages.
The U.S. Out? No, the U.S. Embassy. They were worried that they were going to get taken hostage during an uprising that was going on in Iran.
Yep.
And some of them, I believe this is the same point where some of them were actually taken hostage. Carter lost the election because of this. That's neither here nor there. What they do is they come up with this idea to get them out and is to have them pretend to be a Canadian film crew for this sci-fi film called Argo.
Yep.
And I believe it worked. It's like a recently...
Declassified CIA story. Story or something.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, that's...
This is in your top five.
This is my top five.
You have to have David tell you what it's about.
Hey. Well, because ironically, my number five is Argo.
Oh! For three.
So that works.
Nailed it. Now who's the asshole?
All right, so now we go with number four, Adam.
Because
my five was Argo, so we got to go back
all
to
right,
four.
Well, for number four, I'm going to go with Lincoln. Steven Spielberg's Lincoln.
Okay.
Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln.
That is.
In case you needed a
and
point
this
of
is
reference.
This is the one that doesn't kill vampires.
That's correct. This Abraham Lincoln is not a vampire hunter, but he is a champion of all the things that we consider good about America and freeing the slaves.
Right on. One might call him an emancipator.
That's what people would say about him.
Yeah.
And that he had a really good beard.
Quick question about this.
Okay.
Were you excited about Daniel Day-Lewis coming in behind Liam Neeson, or were you disappointed about that?
Oh, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
Man, I don't know. I thought Liam Neeson would have been really good.
He's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and he looks like Lincoln.
Yeah.
Scottish Lincoln.
He's got that creepy furrowed brow thing going on in his older age.
Yeah.
Just like Lincoln did.
And a lot of people don't know this, but Liam Neeson actually builds log cabins.
Yeah.
That's his hobby. Did you see the fucking Gray? He fights wolves and builds cabins. He's Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis is fantastic, so.
Yeah.
It's like a win-win, I guess. Is that?
Disappointed.
Lose-win?
It was a disappointment, but then it was okay.
Well,
it
is because I know right. you
I'm so excited.
You love Daniel Day-Lewis.
Love him.
As you should.
Ugh.
My left foot.
Oh my gosh.
I'd actually give mine to watch it again.
No.
Not quite that far.
No.
But
crickets.
Crickets. There they are.
I like Liam Neeson. He's just a little too monotone Or no, monotone's the wrong way. He's Liam Neeson every time.
He's one note.
He's Ra's al Ghul, Qui-Gon Jinn. Hasn't he earned that?
Sure, he's earned it. But I want to see Abe Lincoln. I don't want to see Liam Neeson as Abe Lincoln.
That's fair.
Well, you're not gonna.
Well, get ready to see Daniel Plainview as Abraham Lincoln, because I can't wait for all the milkshakes that motherfucker drinks during Lincoln. Number four.
Number four for me is Wreck-It Ralph, the new Disney computer animated film coming out November 2nd.
Yeah.
And it is about a video game character, like a classic arcade bad guy. His name is Wreck-It Ralph. He's very much like Donkey Kong in the original Donkey Kong game, where he threw barrels, except he climbs up a house building, like an apartment structure. It's really weird. And like bashes things. And he decides at one point that he's no longer okay with being the bad guy. He wants to be the good guy. So he goes rogue. And I think this looks really good. They somehow got the rights to
like
just about every classic video game character.
Like Bowser from Mario Brothers.
Like the Street Fighter characters, Pac-Man's all over it.
Crazy.
Sonic, like, I don't know. It's got a really great voice cast. John C. Reilly, Jack McBrayer, Sarah Silverman. I think it's going to be good. It's going to be, I mean, I think it's obviously going to be like the Toy Story of video games, but
you
I
heard
don't
it
think
here
that's
first.
A bad thing.
The Toy Story of video games.
Yeah. So.
This Toy Story of video game movies.
Shut up.
How do you, I mean.
Give me a break.
Okay, fine.
Really?
Right, number three.
Splitting
number three.
Hairs. God damn it. You were doing so well. You brought up a really good question and a really good point.
I'm drunk.
And you just ruined it.
All right.
Getting technical. All right.
Going back, going to.
Number three.
Number three. Going to follow my presidential route here with Hyde Park on the Hudson, which has Bill Murray playing FDR.
Yes.
And I think it could be his opportunity for an Oscar.
Yeah, but don't we always say that?
Yeah, we do. But it looks really good.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see it.
Reteaming him up with Olivia Williams from...
I'm sorry, Olivia Newton-John?
No.
Oh, okay.
Olivia Williams, who he co-starred with in Rushmore.
It's the That's
first
right.
time they've been in a movie together since then. Can you tell us a little bit of what it's about?
Nope.
You don't know what it's about?
I know it is
it's
about
the first presidential invitation to a sitting royal member, like the king of England, that was accepted.
Oh, man.
So this is the first time a king had come to America since we had become our own nation.
Okay.
And it took that long.
Let me stop you right there. Are you telling me
that this is a sequel to the King's Speech?
If it is, I'm not. I'm taking
because
it off the fucking list.
It's the same king.
Done. Go ahead and give your next. Movie.
I was shocked when you said this was your number three. Shocked.
Really? Yeah, I was shocked. Really, really.
I mean,
surprised.
I really want to see it, but not if it's King's Speech 2.
It's not going to be King's Speech 2. It's going to be
Stutter
funny.
Returns.
It looks really funny.
American Bill Murray version of King's Speech.
And plus, this is King George the VI post Stutter. Because we're well invested in World War II by this point.
Well.
So he's post-stutter.
Well, if you can believe this, you've turned me around. I'm back. I'm back on the train. Number three.
All right.
Hyde Park on the Hudson.
Okay. My number three is sort of a hesitant number three. But I'm going to admit I'm excited about this. Great Gatsby by Baz Luhrmann. Because... I am not a Moulin Rouge fan.
Get out.
And as long as there...
Tim, throw it out. I can't believe we've been on this fucking island with him for this long. 20 years?
I like Strictly Ballroom. I thought that was a good film.
Don't try to justify it.
I did not think... I thought Australia was like three really good movies that got put into one and it ruined it. But I think this is going to be good. I think we deserve a really good
What about
Great
Romeo
Gatsby.
And Juliet?
I like Romeo and Juliet too.
Damn right.
That Mercutio dude gets me every time.
Hey, Mercutio.
But long as this doesn't have any like modern music, as long as he sticks to the period, and it looks like he's going to.
Yeah. Well, the trailer had the Kanye and
Jay-Z
song.
Yeah, but it's a trailer though.
Yeah, but I liked it.
Yeah, it did kind of work.
It did.
But that Redford Great Gatsby is a snooze fest, ladies and gentlemen. And I love this book. So, I'm really excited to see this be done well, and it looks like it's going to be done really well. So
cool. Number two, Django Unchained, Quentin Tarantino's sixth film. Going back to the slavery route. There's two things I like this year, guys: presidents and slavery.
Yeah.
But the the abolishment of slavery, of course, not the continuation of it.
One is Django government sanctioned, the other is through free will.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly right. Oh, shit. Django, the D is silent. Django Unchained.
Yes.
Is Quentin Tarantino's sixth film. It stars Jamie Foxx as a slave who's kind of incorporated into the bounty hunting business by Christoph Waltz from Inglourious Basterds, who we all know is amazing.
Yeah.
And he could do anything, and I would be fine with that.
Yeah.
And Jamie Foxx finds out that his wife is sold to Leonardo DiCaprio's like filthy plantation owner, and he goes on a killing spree to get her back, and it looks really awesome. It looks like they've described it as a Southern, not a Western. I think that's really appropriate.
Yeah.
It looks like a very Southern homegrown version of Kill Bill, you know, the kind of Asian and Western influence in a very Southern story.
So. You know what's curious, too, is that is actually coming out the same day as Great Gatsby. Mm-hmm. And DiCaprio's in both, playing two very different characters. He's going to be confusing
audiences. Do you think this is when Leonardo DiCaprio is finally going to break through and make it big?
Man, I hope
this could be his year, guys.
I hope not.
Man.
I much prefer the smaller films from him.
Yeah. So. Like The Departed and Shutter Island. I mean, those were great indie, small-budget movies.
Yeah.
Man, I'm ready to see him just break through this fucking glass ceiling that the industry has placed on him.
Yeah. When are pretty blonde acting men going to get a break in this business?
He's come a long way since Critters 3. Look it up, kids. IMDb, Critters 3.
All right. Is this number two?
Yep.
All right. My number two is Anna Karenina by Joe Wright. Tim looks surprised.
No, I'm not surprised at all.
Let me just stop you right there.
I'm worried that Adam is going to
be. It's going to get us.
Yeah. Start fist fighting.
You. Yeah. Well, let me first say.
Talk about it.
I'm a really big fan of the director.
Sure.
He did a really good remake of Pride and Prejudice and Atonement. I think is an excellent film. Soloist is really good. Hannah, he faltered a little bit, but I think it's still an interesting idea, making a sort of like artistic action film.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a really, really smart director. Uses everything. One of my favorite things in movies of the last couple of years has been his use of sound and combining it with visual images. The scene in Soloist where he closes his eyes and he sees the symphony in colors was awesome. And then with Atonement, the score is constant. You constantly hear a typewriter because the story is a lie and it's being told to you. Stuff like that. He's just a really smart guy.
It's deep.
Yeah. And so I'm really excited about this. I'm also a fan of Russian literature. And well, Karenina is a Tolstoy novel that's really, really good. And so I'm excited to see the combination.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see Keira Knightley in another fucking Victorian dress.
It's Russian. It's not Victorian.
Damn it.
Boom. Solved it. Number one.
Well, it sounds like we may have dueled ourselves into this
one. I think we have dueled ourselves into this one. We started and finished the list on the same note. Yeah.
And we're not going to ask Tim because no one cares.
No.
Number one. The Master.
The Master.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Greatest American filmmaker living.
Greatest American hero.
Yep.
That's something different.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Greatest American film director.
Yeah. The man of Tim's dreams.
Daniel Plainview's father.
Daniel Plainview's creative father.
I drink it up.
Yes. Has made The Master, which is unofficially the origin story of Scientology as created by the science fiction writer L. Ron Hubbard. Officially, nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Scientology whatsoever.
It's just another cult.
Totally just a different cult by a science fiction writer.
Yeah.
That was started around the same period of time. Scientology showed up, but not the same thing.
Sure.
Philip Seymour Hoffman playing the role of the L. Ron Hubbard-esque character.
Yeah, the charismatic cult leader.
Right. Amy Adams playing the wife of that character. And then Joaquin Phoenix doing his best Jack Kerouac. playing the man that is sort of brought into this cult as it is very early in its creation. And from what the trailer implies, unveils the fallacy of it. Yeah. So, I don't know. We're going to see. This trailer reminds me very much of the sort of like heaviness of There Will Be Blood, but also that sense of just being uncomfortable from Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really good. I think it's going to be the best film of the year.
I think so too. I guess that's why we have it at number one.
Yep. That's our top five. But what we're going to do is we're going to ask everybody over the next week to tweet their favorite movies. Just tweet us your favorite movie like ever.
Has nothing to do with most anticipated.
No.
Just favorite movie ever.
And then include the hashtag Skullface Island so we can see it. And we will we'll read some of them off next week in a little bit that we're gonna do.
So. We've got plans for this. So send us your tweets with your favorite movie. You can use the Skullface Island hashtag. Also, I mean, you can tweet us directly at Adam Frazier.
Mm-hmm.
AdamFrazier.
Mm-hmm.
David is the Red Bandit.
TheRedBandit.
Don't spell that shit. And Tim is at Tim Alden Grant. Go ahead and spell that out. Spell it out a day.
TimAldenGrant.
Is that your middle name?
It is.
Twitter cool. is his middle name.
I was flipping through a baby name as a book.
Arbitrary middle name. Tweet us your favorite movie. Let's not forget the Skullface Island hotline.
Right, the 980-272-0111.
And the email.
And the email address, skullfaceisland@geeksofdoom.com. Now, we got to go, right? Because we planned a beach volleyball tournament down at the beach with the natives, right?
Right. All right, the less aggressive ones.
We're going to lose.